The RCR shop has great gift ideas. From great looking tees, hoodies, caps, tote bags, bumper stickers, and more. The RCR shop is now open at www.realitycheck.radio/shop.
Welcome back, everybody. You are here on the Up Your Brave show with Natalie Cutler-Welsh. Today, I'm talking to a longtime friend who has a mutual interest. I love dogs. She loves dogs. I'm talking to Olivia Potter on the topic of holistic pet care and raw feeding. She is a dog breeder, a vibrational essences practitioner, and a raw feeding expert. Welcome to the show, Olivia.
Hi, Nat. Thank you so much for having me on. It's such a pleasure to get to have a play with you and your amazing element now.
Thank you so much. It's so good to reconnect with you. And it's funny because we've done a couple of interviews around animals, and it's a popular topic. So I'm thrilled to be bringing you on to share your wisdom. For those of you that don't know Olivia, Olivia Potter has been dog breeder at Le Epitome Kennels.
Le Epitome. So like the best of, you know?
Yes. Yeah. Well, Le Epitome, that's French, right? Le. Yeah. So the Epitome Kennels NZ for over 25 years and a raw feeder solely for 19 years. She has done amazing things with breeds known to have health issues, such as Frenchies and pugs, I think, and Griffins, and uses all natural products and remedies whenever possible with incredible results. Well, I'm thrilled to dive into this. I recently swapped my dog over to raw dog food about a month ago. So I'm excited to hear a little bit more and share with our listeners the benefits, the ins and outs, the how, the why, the when. But before we do that, I would love for you to elaborate. You've had a fascinating journey in your life, as all of us have. Can you tell us a little bit about how you got into the dog scene? You know, tell us a little bit more about that backstory.
So I used to be a parrot breeder. I worked at an exotic bird shop and over in at one in America. And I actually walked into the bird barn out in West Auckland and saw this little Griffon puppy and fell instantly in love with the puppy. Because I'd always had a thing for pugs, but I'd never seen Griffons before. And this little red smooth Griffon looked like a miniature boxer or something, and I was so captivated by this little puppy that I actually decided, right, that's it, I'm going to get rid of some of my birds and I'm going to swing a deal. So I swapped a pair of birds actually for my first Griffon and I felt, and she was so amazing as a dog and just so intelligent and so easy to train, and I just fell totally in love with her. And then I started doing all this research about the breed, and I found that you could get a long-haired one with a beard, and I was even more captivated. I was like, oh my God, it looks like an Ewok. And so it wasn't actually till many years later that I found out that it wasn't a coincidence at all, that George Lucas owned 5 Griffons and he modeled Ewoks and Chewbacca off Griffons. But that was obviously when, you know, not until Wikipedia came about and, you know, and I looked it up and was just absolutely blown away.
So our listeners can go and they're going to all go and Google to see what a Griffon looks like. Speaking of pugs, I have always had an adoration. I've always loved pugs ever since I was really young living in Canada. And I was always like, I'm going to get a pug one day. Well, I've actually never got a pug. I have had many dogs. Well, 3 dogs. I've never got a pug, but I do love them as well. Amazing. Anything else on your journey that I didn't know that you had the birds? I didn't know that part of your story. Yeah. Anything else that brought you to this point, and specifically the raw feeding? I guess from breeding, you moved into raw feeding?
Yeah. Well, I started out for about the first 6 years of my owning Griffons and getting into breeding. I started out doing what everyone else does and getting sold into biscuits by the vets, you know, and the pet food and the shop. You know, and everyone telling you that this, they've got some new great biscuit that's going to solve every problem of the world, you know, and the dog's going to be as healthy as anything. And then I used to cook food as well, like it was this real big thing. And I was lucky enough to be living in Oratia at the point that Lynn Thompson, who started Raw Essentials, was actually launching her business. And this other lady that lives out on Forest Hill Road, and she sells raw food at the market, and some people still go to her house. She did a flyer drop in the local area, and she said something like, do you want less poo, and do you want poo that doesn't even smell? And as a dog breeder, I was like, oh my God, this is some serious like things that she's saying here. Like, if this is actually true, like, I am down with this. So I went along to the local hall, Oratia Settlers Hall, where we had a talk on it. And Lynn, who was a vet, she showed up and she laid it out. She said that she'd been working with this other amazing vet in Australia, Tom Lonsdale, who has written all these books. And he actually came out to New Zealand and did a talk at the university about raw food. And it was just such a common sense, you know. It was, he just burst the bubble for me and made me realize that I'd been sold to, and that dry food is basically like McDonald's for animals, you know. And so I instantly went, right, you're speaking my language. I swapped over, and I couldn't believe the differences. They were so obvious that it was like being smacked in the face, you know. And the puppies would come out so much stronger and healthier, less puppies dying, just everything. And of course, exactly what she said about the poop, you know, it was turning white in the sun like it used to be back in the day, you know, where granddad would do the lawns and he'd hit a poop with the mower and it would be a puff of dust. You know, not some horrible poop that it can rain for 2 weeks and it still looks the same. It looks like one of those novelty poops we would get pranked with at school that was made out of rubber, you know. And so I just couldn't believe it. And they do, they poo less as well on raw food. And it does, it breaks down. Obviously, you still have a cleanup, but most of it breaks down and just goes back into the earth because it's natural. It's not all these preservatives that are in the dry food. And I couldn't believe the lack of smell in my dogs with the raw food, because like when a person has eaten too much spices, or they've eaten lots of garlic and you can smell it coming out of their pores, that's what that the stale smell is that people have come to think is a dog smell. It's not, it's the food. It's because they can't process those oils, and because a lot of oils and stuff's been added at the end after they've peat treated it endlessly to make it more appealing and more palatable. And so like cats and stuff get really addicted to it, like the oils, and that's why cats are very difficult customers, you know, when it comes to trying to swap diets, especially if they're an older cat.
Yeah, I'll come to swapping over because I do want to ask you that. But one thing I wanted to mention, it's so interesting, isn't it? Because so when you talk about, just for terminology for my listeners, when you talk about biscuits, so we're talking about kibble, like basically dry food that comes in a big bag. And it's interesting because I always thought, I was a little bit righteous about it. I always thought, oh, I never buy my dog food at the grocery store. Like I only buy it at the pet shop or maybe at the vet. And it was like Science Diet or whatever the brand, right? But I hear what you're saying. There's so much, like there's things added to it. And the smell, even for passerbyers, like we have in our property, a lot of kids, local kids that walk through our property to get to the bus stop, and we're fine with that. But it's like our dog poo's on the lawn. Like they'll be much happier with her new diet because the likelihood of stepping in something and the smell of something, definitely. Talk to me a little bit about gut health because, and bad breath. Like my dog used to have really, really bad breath, like fishy. Mm-hmm. And we did get her teeth clean, but I was concerned about her gut health. So is the raw food better than dry from that perspective as well? Because gut health also affects happiness and mental health and well-being.
Absolutely. I mean, so you've got, if they're on a dry diet, that means that their gut is very alkaline. which is not natural. That is not how, and that's why if they get hold of something nasty, they get really sick, because their diet, their gut is not acidic like it should be on a raw diet. And on a raw diet, see, if anything weird goes in there, it kills it on contact, you know, so they have a, they're a lot more resilient. But I find, you know, a big one is that if, say, for instance, a dog has to go into the vet and it's got to have some sort of a surgical procedure and it comes away with antibiotics, that's a terrible one, because a lot of, like, the short-nosed breeds suffer from acid reflux. And what the vets are doing is they're prescribing them these horrible drugs like omeprazole and gabapentin and Losec, which actually just nullifies the natural acid in their gut. Makes it really hard for them to get back to functioning properly for quite a while. And so anyway.
And I don't imagine they prescribe a probiotic to go with it like you would hope, well, like they would do with a person.
They don't, but they actually don't. And see, I had two of my Frenchies go through, they got parvo, and we almost lost them. And so you can imagine how decimated, because the parvo attacks the gut, and their gut was absolutely decimated. And my vet laughed at me and he said, oh, you won't get those dogs back onto raw food for months, you know. Anyway, fast forward, I threw all of the drugs in the bin that he sent me home with, and I pumped bone broth with apple cider vinegar into them day in, day out. And within a week, I had them back on their raw food. And my vet was just gobsmacked. He was like, what in the world? Like, how did you even do that? And I did. I threw those drugs in the bin. I didn't even give one to them because I was so disgusted. I'd been through losing my son in the hospital, and he was pumped, had half of those drugs pumped into him. And he used to plead with them, please don't make me take that. It makes me feel horrible. And we looked up all the bloody after side effects and saw how long, oh, look, it takes 6 months for the gut to function properly after you give them that. So I just thought, no, that's just not even it's not even a thing. You know, I'm going down the natural road, and I did. And I had amazing results. So for any dogs that have acid reflux, apple cider vinegar, bone broth, amazing. It does all of what those drugs I just listed that do. But you just got to be motivated and you got to do it. And you might have to syringe it into them to begin with because they're like, oh, what's going on? But it, mind you, if you do a nice bone broth, they usually love that. And you just put the apple cider vinegar in it. So they don't even know. And it's resetting the pH in the gut.
Well, I just want to honor you for the journey you've been on with your son, Aiden, and the medical system. And I can see your passion. Well, you've always been passionate, but your passion for natural health and sharing some of insights today with people that just wouldn't have ever heard or thought about. They might know apple cider vinegar, but they wouldn't have thought about giving it to their dog. So I just wanted to send you some love for everything you've been through.
Beautiful. Yeah, well, we've all had a really hard last 4 years, haven't we? You know, everyone's had their own struggles and lots of losses, and you know, so hats off to everyone out there that's made it through and is still smiling. And if you're not, that's okay too, because you know, these things always pass, don't they?
Exactly. Dogs are such an amazing, you know, they're so intuitive. They're so supportive. Yeah. Can you talk to me a little? I want to come back to the raw feeding, but just while we're here, let's talk a little bit about dogs and the impact that they can have on people in a family. I know we saw a lot of people getting dogs through COVID, but just the benefits in terms of healing and a companionship.
I am such a firm believer in that. And I really, my vision in the future would be to have a charity, because I talked about that. I wanted it to be Aiden's Angels, where I can just, these dogs that I'm breeding, because I'm not your average breeder. I'm not just breeding dogs to just go anywhere. These are puppies that are going to go into people's lives and to change their lives and to, for the better, you know, and to be a little angel that goes into their household. And, you know, I've had people that have got autistic children, or a guy in a wheelchair he was one of my highlight ones, I think, over the years. As I spent, I had this little Griffon that was just the most sweetest, beautiful, soft nature. And he'd come from a bigger litter and his sisters had picked on him, you know, and they'd all gone off into their homes. And I think the universe had just sort of, you know, engineered things so this little boy stayed on a bit longer and we gave him all this extra attention. And I get this call from a guy down in Christchurch saying, look, I'm a tetraplegic and I want a dog, like but it's got to be a lap, one that likes being on the lap. And I just said, oh my goodness, you wouldn't believe it. This puppy I have is just everything that you're describing. And anyway, so he just said, right, that's it, I'm doing it, you know, send me the dog. He calls me 6 months later and he was basically crying on the phone just saying that this puppy had transformed his life. Like he was just so full of love and, you know, it was so amazing. I just live for that sort of stuff. So, you know, I wish that all my puppies could be more, I could be more selective and just be able to give them to families and people that really need them, you know, like kids recovering from major illnesses and, you know, all sorts of things like that. That would be my ultimate dream, really.
It sounds like an amazing dream, very doable. And there are a lot of people that, you know, that do want a dog, and especially a dog that's healthy, like more healthy than some of the other breeds around. Something you mentioned to me off air before we recorded, but I really want to make a point of it. Toilet training is often a big deterrent for people in terms of dogs, especially if someone is sick or like in the wheelchair, right? You said to me that you send every puppy is already toilet trained when you send it. How does that work?
By 8 weeks. I'm just lucky enough that I guess I've spent a lot of time observing my dogs. And I don't know, about 6 years ago, because I used to think that they were too small and that there wasn't anything you could do. And, you know, and I was just lucky enough to observe this little puppy crawl off its bed and onto the newspaper, and it peed and then it crawled back on. And I thought, wow, they have such an amazing natural instinct to not want to soil their bed. And I guess it's like a bird doesn't want to soil its nest. And so I just started putting the fake grass trays like right next to the bed, like butted up against the bed. Because also what I found is that they're very tactile when they're babies. So they're way more, their vision's not that great. So their smell and their feel is their main senses that they're going by. So if you put something like one of those puppy training pads that feels like a soft furnishing or carpet next to them as a training thing, you're teaching them to go on carpet and blankets and beds and stuff like that. Whereas if you use that fake grass, that actually translates really well to grass outside and they feel it, and it's amazing. And so, yeah, I space it, you know, as they grow, I space it out more and more. And but they, by the time they leave, they are like ninjas, you know, on those pads. And then people can just really, that's an easy one to work with to finish off. So, and I'm always around for any guidance that people need, you know, because a lot of people become really good friends. You know, that's just how these things go. Because, you know, dogs should be family, right? So it's a big deal.
Well, that's amazing. I wish I'd known about that technique myself. So I'm picturing Griffins, but do you also do French Bulldogs?
Yeah, so I got into Frenchies when that was something that Aiden, who died, him and I cooked up that idea while he was in hospital, because I wanted to try and give him something to look forward to. Unfortunately, he didn't end up making it, but that just gave me more motivation to want to carry on the dream that we had. And also I looked at the state of the health of the breed and I was really appalled. I was sad and just thought I could do so much better than that. And so I'm up to third generation natural births, which is a big deal, because a lot of people are just doing endless cesareans and totally intervention the whole way.
So why do they do that?
Well, because they're either too scared to lose a puppy, or they haven't put the right combinations together, and or they've kept a female that's got really narrow hips, and instead of thinking, hey, that's not really what I want, they just think of the money, you know. So I really.
Oh, so they're like, oh, we'll just Caesar that one. That'll be fine.
That's right. Yeah.
Okay.
But gosh. I have cut all of that stuff out of my breeding program because I want natural, you know. I think it's really important that they should be able to birth naturally and the babies get all that goodness, you know, being birthed naturally. I mean, obviously sometimes things happen and you might get a solo puppy and you have to do a cesarean, but that can happen in any breed, and you know, you just do what you have to do. But yes, and then I've just recently introduced coloured pugs as well. So I've just bred some of the first chocolate pugs in New Zealand, which I'm super proud of, not just because they're a fancy colour, but because they're super healthy. Mm-hmm. And that pugs have been another breed that have been very, unfortunately, overbred. But I spent a lot of time and effort researching and importing and DNA testing for hereditary issues before I even did anything. So no, I'm very proud, you know, because I feel like I'm adding value. I'm not just adding numbers. So yeah. And then of course, to see how well that they all do on the raw food.
Yeah.
You know, because I wean everyone straight onto raw food. They absolutely love it and they just flourish, you know. So I've got some other really good tips that I've got written down that I don't want to forget.
I'm just going to jump in and say, for someone that doesn't know what a pug is, think of the Men in Black movie, right? That's like the dog in the Men in Black movie.
Yeah.
But in a, like in a brown color. Oh, that sounds adorable.
Chocolate. Seriously, they're just the most delicious little things ever. And they're just gorgeous. They're not.
Send me a photo. You're probably not. Are you allowed to post them on Facebook on your page or not? I want to see them.
I am, because I'm a registered breeder. I'm dual registered. I'm registered with Dogs New Zealand for my Griffons and Master Dog Breeders in Australia for my coloured dogs, because I want, you know, I like, everyone gets papers and, you know, so, and health guarantees and blah, 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 you know, all the stuff that you would like to, you would hope to be getting when you're getting a new family member. And, you know, and let's face it, and they're not cheap, but I can tell you right now, they're damn worth it.
Well, I was just thinking that because on my show, I sometimes talk about deception in the media and deception around, you know, things like monkeypox and whatever. And there's actually dog deception, a little bit of that around, with breeders saying that dogs are purebred when they're not. And then that's where you get the issues with like the snout is too short and they have breathing problems because they've inbred or whatever. Is that right?
Yeah, well, unfortunately, over COVID, which was a really crazy time for everyone, as we know, there was a huge influx of people that decided that they could be a dog breeder.
Right.
Because they looked at the price, you know, and went, oh my gosh, you know, that's easy. I just get a boy and a girl and I breed them. And so even though all of the breeders in New Zealand were like, no, sorry, we're not selling for breeding, in Australia, it was like a gold rush going off over there. And all these new people had jumped in and they sold every puppy on Maine's papers, which means to breed. And so any good breeder knows that in a litter, you'll be lucky to get one or two pups that are breeding quality, let alone a whole litter. You know, like that's just not, you get pets and then some breeding quality if you're lucky, you know. And so that's, yeah, it's led to a whole lot of new breeders that really don't know what they're doing. And they get all these fancy logos and flashy photos and stuff like that and put them up. And so people are just get, I don't know, convinced that, oh no, that looks like someone that knows what they're doing. But unfortunately, there's no real way of knowing unless you do your research, you know, and obviously make sure that if you are buying off someone that you get paperwork, you get a health guarantee, because any puppy, you're covered under the Consumer's Rights Guarantee Act. So, you know, you want to be making sure that you get all in the vaccinate, they should be vaccinated and microchipped and wormed and fleed, all that sort of stuff, you know. And because it's amazing the amount of people, because I, you know, I run groups and stuff on Facebook that I hear they don't get any of that. So that would be one thing that I would like to, you know, put out to everyone, is make sure that you get all your paperwork.
Well, I think some people would want the dog unvaccinated, I imagine, or natural flea treatment or whatever, rather than some of those tablets.
It's a hard one when you say unvaccinated, because unfortunately things like parvo are rife, you know, and that's one that people can pick that up themselves and trek it home, or another dog can bring it in. So it would be very dangerous. Like, I personally don't do the full schedule of vaccinations that the vets set out. I don't do kennel cough because I think that's awful. And I've had some puppies get really sick. And so unless you have to put your dog into a kennel, that would be not be something I'd be doing. And I certainly wouldn't do it till it's older. I do maximum two parvo vaccines, because I basically, after going through the incident of my dogs getting parvo and all, them almost dying, they had had one vaccine, right? But if I'd had two, they would have been fine. However, the vets do recommend that you get three or sometimes four parvo vaccines and yearly boosters. Well, guess what? Parvo vaccine lasts between 7 and 9 years, so they can stick that where the sun doesn't shine.
Yeah, it's probably a big moneymaker, I imagine.
Yeah. So I certainly wouldn't recommend not getting any, because parvo's a bad one, you know. And but based on where you live in the country, that lepto, which you get from rats, is definitely relevant. But if you live anywhere from about Taupo down, there's no lepto. But it's up in the North Island and up far north. So I think it's just about weighing up what you really need. But most good breeders would not allow a puppy to go without that first vaccine, because we need to take them to the vet and get checked out. And it's actually in the code of ethics for us as like registered breeders, is to at least have that first one done.
Well, I'm learning a lot today. You're a fountain of wisdom. I love dogs. Yeah, I had a Sheltie growing up, a Shetland sheepdog, and then I had a couple of Samoyeds before kids, early years of kids, and now we have a Spoodle. So, and she's just swapped to the raw food diet. So I wanted to pop back to that topic of raw food diet. If someone is wanting to swap over like I did, my dog used to, like, she would not eat, you know, the biscuits. They'd be sitting there all day, and then, like, eventually she'd eat them. Like, she obviously, and then because of her bad breath and everything, I was like, okay, something's got to change. So I just decided to go raw food. I do find it a little annoying because it takes up space in the freezer. We just have one small freezer at the bottom of our fridge, but it's fine. For somebody listening that is curious about it, Number one, we've kind of talked already about the benefits, but any other benefits? And then how do they make the swap? Is it gradual or is it like cold turkey swap?
So, no, it's definitely a cold turkey swap, because even though you'll read information that says that it's okay to give dried and raw, that's not true. It leaves them really open to having a digestive upset. And then, you know, if you end up at the vet's going to turn around and say, see, it's the raw food. Because every chance they get, they want to blame it on the raw food, or they want to blame it on bones. But what they don't tell people is that it'll be cooked bones that someone has a problem with, because cooked bones are very dangerous. They're brittle and they splinter. So you should never give cooked bones. Whereas raw bones, wolves evolved for millennia eating raw bones. They are totally fine. They crush down. If someone gave too much bone, that they can impact that in their bowel and cause a problem. Mm-hmm. So you don't want to give bone after bone after bone after bone. You need to have balance. So I usually give bones about 3 times a week. And I stick to things like possum, which is an absolute superfood for dogs. It's so such a low fat one. It's really nice and sinewy, so it cleans their teeth really well, and it's also a good size that they can just crush it all up. Rabbit's another really good one. I will sometimes use high quality goat, but I go easy on it because it's very rich. And then I just have a really good blend that I buy, and I am really, really fussy. I don't want to disparage publicly any of the other companies, but I will say that some raw food places, their food is nowhere near as good as they portray it to be, because any place that sells only domestically, they don't actually have to operate by the same food hygiene safety standards as some other places. Like I buy off Carnivoro, which you can go online, carnivoro.co.nz, and they make these amazing prey model pellets, which are like a small cylindrical pellet. So they defrost really quickly, and it's a complete diet. So they have one that I use, Game Quartet, and that's got rabbit, possum, venison, and goat on a lamb base, with tripe and bone added, all in the right proportions. So I use that as my base diet, and across all three breeds, absolute amazing. And I just have zero issues on it. And it's all wild caught. So we're actually doing good for the environment, because we're knocking off these pests, you know, that are out there eating our bush. So if you think about it, you know, all those animals are eating all the best morsels of everything, aren't they? So, you know, it's really good.
Nutrient rich.
Yes.
Why is tripe so important? I know I actually did try to transition my cat across as well. Yeah. And I gave up pretty easily. Yeah. But then I did get told, okay, well, the cats don't like tripe, so get them raw food with their tripe. So why is tripe important and helpful for the dogs?
For the gut, because it's the same, you know, the tripe is obviously gut lining. And so it's got all those, the really good, I mean, in the wild, a wolf would rip the stomach out of its prey, you know, and they would get all of that goodness and all of the digestive enzymes and stuff. And this leads me on to something else I do. So when it comes up to the point where the grass is growing like mad and everyone's out there cutting the grass, and sometimes dogs can get seasonal itches and they get that itchy foot, you know, and start, because I have some dogs that are allergic to when you mow the grass. Mm-hmm. So I have the best cure for that, and I use coconut yogurt and sauerkraut, and I add that into the pellets. And also I buy this microbiome support liquid, that's called Dynavite. They use it on horses and stuff, but it's also, they do an animal one. It's so you can look that up online as well. And so I'll just do a bowl, you know, with some of the pellets, and I put a little splash of the Dynavite, and I put a little spoon of the sauerkraut, and then a big dollop of the coconut yogurt on top. And I kid you not, that is like itch buster, boom. So it's amazing, because it's like a gut reset, and it just absolutely works a treat, and they love it, because it's giving all the good probiotics, but not with dairy, because obviously dogs are lactose intolerant, so you don't want to be, as much as people will go, oh, give them yogurt, or give them, no, don't. Mm-hmm. They're lactose intolerant, so that creates other issues, and can create you.
I don't know if you do consults, but I'm thinking, oh my gosh, someone's going to want to message you and do a consult, because there's so many ins and outs. And the other thing that's really common in dogs is anxiety. Well, certain breeds, you know, for example, like I think Bichon Frise, or I'm not sure, but is that also possibly related to gut health, the level of anxiety?
I absolutely think so, because I mean, you know, let's face it, animals are very similar to humans, and having worked with these dogs for so long, and some, because I've been selecting for years for because I have, you know, a huge tick list that I go through mentally when I'm choosing a dog to keep for breeding. And one of the things that I have is obviously intelligence. And some of the intelligence that I've seen these dogs exhibit just blows me away, you know. So to think that they're not like humans, where they're affected by the diet. And, you know, all this research has come out showing that humans, anxiety and depression is linked to the gut, you know, because people are eating such high sugar diets, and it's just terrible. And to be perfectly honest, that's basically what all those, the dry food is. It's got all that same stuff because it's got all these starches and cereal-based products that animals are not designed to process. And I also, I've got another like little project that I've been, you know, that I was doing before my son got sick, which was because I do vibrational essences. My friend who created those does transdermal magnesium for people, so magnesium that you put on your skin. And I decided to launch a range of that for animals. And I did. I had a few people that had dogs with anxiety that we used it on, and it was transformational, you know. So because it actually magnesium oil or gel for humans is absolutely transformational for anxiety. Because a lot of people think when they're taking it that they have that base covered, but if given that magnesium is key for 340 digestive processes, including making enzymes, it can be a vicious cycle, and you can be taking it and just pooping it out. So putting it on via the skin is just the best way to get those results. And I totally believe that the anxiety, you know, that it's very treatable.
Absolutely. I actually had somebody at my I work with the elderly, and the other day she was asking me about anxiety for her dog, and I made her up a blend with lavender in it. Frankincense is also great for pets. I actually do a whole I do a whole webinar all about it, but I also, I'll keep magnesium in mind as well, because she could always add that in as well. Dermally. Thank you. If you've just joined us, you're listening to the Up Your Brave Show. I'm talking today to Olivia Potter. We're talking about holistic pet care and raw feeding, as well as gut health and happiness for dogs. We're very curious to know what differences you've noticed if you have been doing raw feeding for your pet, whether it's a cat or a dog. Send us a message. Or if you've learned something from this session so far today, this interview, let us know. You can send us a text, 2057 on the text, or email inbox at realitycheck.radio. All right, Olivia, before we wrap things up with my final questions, anything else you want to share about raw feeding? We talked about transitioning. We talked about going cold turkey, so you're not blending them together and gradually weaning them off. It's like literally, I think I was told, you know, just wait, like, so you feed them the night before, and then in the morning, like after a certain number of hours, you can start and it's cold turkey, which means it's like you're doing a 180. You're going from one type of food totally to another. And she took to it. Like now, every time I feed my dog, she eats it like right then, right there, it's all gone. Whereas before it would sit around all day and she would
There's a lot.
And she's not as fat as she was, and her thyroid problem is changing.
Well, she, you know, a lot of that might be, that could have been some inflammation as well. Because, you know, another thing that's really fascinating with the raw food versus the dry is that when they eat raw food, they drink so much less water. And when you think about it, of course that makes sense, because if a dog is eating a totally dry diet, imagine how dehydrated that must make them inside, because it sucks all the moisture. Because I noticed a massive difference in the noses on dogs that eat raw versus dry. And the dogs that get those real dry, crusty noses are all the ones that are on the dry food. Because you think about it, they probably can't even keep up with their the level of water that they need to be taking on to be healthy, you know. And
as we know with the elderly as well, right? When they are dehydrated, as many of them are, they get urinary infections. My dog actually also got a urinary infection. It's all a part of the same cycle.
Yes. And well, one last thing that's not raw feeding, but is a natural alternative, right? that we all have is I had a situation where one of my French bulldogs cut her foot quite badly. And I had took her to the vet, and the vet had to like do a little surgery, and he stitched it. And he said to me, he said, look, it's quite bad. There was a bit of dead skin, you know, flesh and stuff. I'm concerned that at the point that you finish up her antibiotics, she's going to get a really bad infection again, and it's going to really require some serious antibiotics, you know. And I was like, oh no, you know, that's exactly the last, you know, last thing I want. And you know what, of course, that was exactly what happened, wasn't it? 2 days after we finished the antibiotics, her foot blew up like a balloon. And I sat back and I thought, right, I've got two choices here. I've got a choice where I can either take her back to the vet and we go on some really serious antibiotics and just blast her all the cells out, you know, or I can try and do this naturally. So I went out into the garden and I got some plantain, which we all have in most of our lawns and gardens around the place. So it's a broad, you can get a broad leaf one or a narrow leaf one. I went out there, I crushed that, I bruised it up, I got colloidal silver gel, I rubbed that all around the place, and I wrapped the plantain around her foot and I bandaged it up. And I thought, right, please work. So 12 hours later, all of the inflammation had gone down. And I realized that basically that plantain had sucked that, because it draws out toxins, you see. And so I did that. I just carried on with that for another 3 days, and that was it. We were sorted and we didn't have to go back to the vet. So that's a real good one for people to remember, that if you are in a situation like that, drugs are not always needed. That was amazing. Like it was such a good way of avoiding having to pump more into her, because ultimately I want to save that for like a near death, you know. Yeah.
Because it ruins, that's right, the gut flora and fauna and everything. Wow, amazing. Okay, anything else before I go to the up your brave question?
Diatomaceous earth is an amazing natural wormer. So you can sprinkle that, you can buy that at a lot of health shops or online. It's very cheap. It's basically diatom shells crushed up really, really fine, like a sand. And it's actually a mechanical wormer, so it chops up all the worms. So that's a really good one. And you can just sprinkle it on your dog's food. And it also does things like mites and stuff on chickens. And so it's very much a universal. So when you're doing your worming of your dogs, you would do it on a full moon, because that's when all of the parasites are most active.
Oh, that's good to know. I'm just trying to Google the name of it. Oh, I recently purchased something like that. It wasn't diatomaceous earth. It was like a company that sells, and they do a carpet powder, yeah, and a product that you put, like you said, in their dog food. I can't look it up. It's New Zealand made. It's like in the North Island of New Zealand. I'll do a shout out afterwards, hopefully. But
everyone should have colloidal silver on hand as well. That is an absolute miracle cure, especially for digestive upsets. So when you've got a puppy, I always recommend to my buyers that they get that, because puppies eat things on the ground. They're low to the ground, they're naughty.
Curious and cute.
Yeah, they like, you know, you see them drop it and they're swallowing it, you know. So I've had so many occasions where colloidal silver has just saved the day.
Are we spraying it on the animal or in their water?
No, it's orally in their mouth. So you would get a little eyedropper or a syringe, and you would give them about 2 mils, depending on the size of the dog, you know, but about 3 times a day. And I say to people that I use it as my barometer as to how bad that, how much of a digestive upset they have. So if that's worked within 24 hours and you can see that they're going in the right direction, you just keep going. But if they're not getting better, you go straight to the vet.
Yeah. Wow, you really are a fountain of wisdom. So I'm excited to share with people how they can connect with you, which I'll come to in a moment. But before that, if you were to truly up your brave for the remaining months of 2024, Olivia, what would you do?
I would dive into doing the subscription raw food box that I've been planning to do for ages. But I just, you know, it's scary to try to thinking of taking on another business.
So do you currently sell raw food or you just love talking about it?
But I'm very good friends with the guy at Carnivoro. I used to work for him as his salesperson and I just got too busy doing all my own stuff. But I absolutely believe in his food wholeheartedly. You know, I've been using it solidly for 5 years and I've had nothing but awesome results.
So, does he do a subscription box, like where you just get on a regular delivery or something?
Well, no, but you buy off him online. But right. I want to do a subscription box, you see, because I was a salesperson. I know what people want. And I want to do something that makes it really easy for everyone. So they're not thinking, oh, this is daunting and thinking, oh, no, I haven't got the food for the week. It's just showing up and they chuck it in the freezer and, you know, and we can have these added extras of the yoga and the sauerkraut and, you know.
And the colloidal silver. I think you'll have so many people wanting it. I would want that because here's the thing. Yeah. What we don't want is people running out and then running to the shop and just getting whatever, right? Just to fill the gap. Right. Yeah.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, because that's where it all goes wrong.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So get on that. Let us know when it's available.
Yeah. Okay.
What is coming up for you? I know you've got some event, and how else can people get in touch if they do want to have one of these? I think it's like a dog wellness consult that it sounds like. If you don't do it, I'd love you to do it. And also you do the flower essences. How can they connect with you?
Yes. Or if they are interested in a puppy, because I've got some pretty amazing stuff at the moment and we're all about quality and, you know, good health.
So and toilet trained.
Yes. And toilet trained. So I've got my Lee Epitome Kennels Facebook page. So you can contact me through there. And also you could contact me about a consult for raw feeding or guidance around any other things really to do with dogs. And yes, and then we on a totally different tangent. I don't know. Only certain people will know what I mean when I say we're burners. So we went to Burning Man back in 2012 and fell in love with the whole ethos. And anyway, now that we have a big farm, we have a mini burn that happens here each year called Regen, where we're basically all of the money is going back into regenerating the land. Mm. So each ticket buys a tree, and we have tree plantings that happen at other times during the year where people come back and we plant all the trees that were bought from the tickets. And, you know, one of the guiding principles of Burning Man is leave no trace. But we've decided to change things up a bit and say leave a better trace because we want, you know, people to be able to create things and artworks that, you know, are there for people to come back and enjoy year after year. And, you know, we think that there's enough burning up of resources going on in this world, you know. It's a very fun and good way to, you know, to help us to regenerate the land and to create something.
What type of trees are they going in?
Basically, we're planting trees that are native to down here, because that's one of the mistakes that people make when they get into reforest, you know, replanting and trying to plant out of natives, as they buy all the stuff that they like and they forget about what's actually going to grow.
Yeah.
So for instance, we haven't bothered planting any cowries because cowrie doesn't really grow very well on our coastline because it's so windy. So we have things like lots of manuka and kanuka and flaxes and akiaki and you know, things like pittosporum and all of the, there's Remo.
Can people buy a tree if they don't, if they can't make it in person? Like, and how do they, where do they go to find out about this?
So basically you have to look up Regen on Facebook.
Okay.
Because it's all word of mouth. We don't, it's not a commercial event. So it's not your average festival. So if you're sort of interested in just coming along and having everything laid out for you, probably not for you, because it's all, because it's actually buy a ticket and volunteer. Because we make the festival happen, all of the people that attend. But it's amazing. Like, what I'm actually getting into the spirit of gift, you know, giving a gift to the community, mm-hmm. and how amazing that the community is, and looking after each other, and just fostering creativity and being and uniqueness, and you know, so yeah, it's a pretty amazing thing, really.
It does sound amazing. Community connection and some community service with the tree planting. So that's happening in November. I'm going to spell your website because it's a little tricky. So it's LEEPITOME Kennels, KENNELS.co.nz, which is Le Epitome, which means the best, kennels.co.nz. Amazing.
We are revamping my website at the moment, so hopefully we'll have it like up by the time this airs. Aside of that, I'm on Facebook, so I'm reasonably easy to find. Yeah.
So is it Olivia Potter on Facebook or the Le Epitome?
Yeah, or Le Epitome Kennels on Facebook.
Kennels. Amazing. So everyone, you can go ahead and follow and maybe have a little look at those adorable chocolate bugs while you're there. Oh, Olivia, before we wrap things up, is there anything else you want to share with our listeners today?
Probably just believe in yourselves, you know, as far as trusting your instincts with your animals, you know, and don't feel like you have to rush off to the vet every time something happens. You know, there's a lot of really good information out there, and, you know, and trust your instincts, because I think that a lot of the time we're pretty on the money, but we sort of get taught that we need other people, you know, in order to diagnose things. So definitely, you know, don't rush off to the vet.
Thank you so much, Olivia. Thank you, everyone, for listening. And I hope you've gained some great insight about holistic pet care and raw feeding for dogs. Thanks, everyone.
The RCR Shop has great gift ideas. From great-looking tees, hoodies, caps, tote bags, bumper stickers, and more. The RCR Shop is now open at www.realitycheck.radio/shop.